Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
And welcome back to Digital Spies Soap Scoop podcast, where every Friday we're chatting with some of our favourite people from the world of soaps and breaking down the biggest goings on in EastEnders, Emmerdale, Coronation Street and Hollyoaks. I'm Sophie and as always I'm here with Ali.
Morning Sophie, how are you?
Hi, I'm good thanks. It's a bit of a chilly one, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bitter November morning. The temperature has definitely dropped as we head into the next exciting few weeks in the UK. But yeah, it's cold, but it's okay. It's always nice to be chatting to you on a Wednesday morning.
So yeah, it is cold. I'm sitting here in all the layers. I've got socks on and I did win the heating battle this morning. I got up, it's like 7 a.m. I said to Mark, my husband, I was like, we are putting it on. It's like 2 degrees or something. Yeah. Definitely
I'm normally on the other side of that. I'm normally like, okay, it's been on for an hour and a half now, like let's rush over to the thermostat and turn it off. But yeah, today is definitely a day for leaving it on.
Yeah, definitely. So we are about to head into another challenging time here in the UK, or actually by the time you hear this we will be in it. We're heading into lockdown 2 throughout November. It's all a bit doom and gloom. I think like this time around, it's going to be a little bit more difficult. It's darker, it's colder, the days are shorter. But the good news, because we all need some good news, is that the soaps, it doesn't look like, are going to be shutting down this time. Yeah. The only reason they shut down before was because they needed to sort of get the protocol and the safety measures in place, but they're all there now and they can follow the guidelines and social distance. So that will be keeping on going throughout the winter months, which is great.
Yeah, it's a bit of a relief as well, because it means we've got that kind of regular scheduled programming from all of our favourite soaps back on the menu. And yeah, I'm kind of used to seeing them all film at a distance. I mean, it's still a bit strange. You can definitely still tell in a scene where you're like, you'd be sat closer than that in real life. But I've kind of got used to the social distancing and the new way of filming. And, you know, obviously we'd much rather they were all kind of safe and sound than doing anything else.
Yeah, definitely. And it's just good that they're going to carry on. I mean, it's a bit of a comfort blanket, isn't it? It's familiar. It's all what we need right now. So before we get into that, we'll be breaking down all the spoilers as usual a bit later on. But our guest this week is the lovely Cassie Pownie, who played Mel Burton in Hollyoaks from 2003 to 2006. So if you were a long-term Hollyoaks viewer, you'll remember them. They were the Burton twins.
Yeah, she was great. Cassie's someone that we know through kind of work. She works for Cosmopolitan at the moment. And so we kind of, through that, met her and we're like, you know, we should definitely come on the show. And it's a really good chat. And I think it's quite interesting to get her kind of story and her view on what it was like to film on a soap and be on a soap when she was kind of in her early 20s, especially because it's not something she does now. And she's kind of, you know, she's one of us. She's kind of just like a fan of the shows. And she's got quite an interesting perspective and an interesting story about what it was like to kind of move up there and be on Hollyoaks when she was so young. So yeah, it was a really, really enlightening chat, I thought.
Yeah, it was. I loved this one. We did this one quite a while ago, back in August. And I'm quite nosy as a person. And I just loved hearing all about her Hollyoaks days and like how she made the move into journalism. Because like you say, we're all kind of part of the same Hearst family. She works for Cosmopolitan. We obviously work for Digital Spy. And so yeah, it was just great. It was such a lovely chat. And I do remember her back in Hollyoaks, you know, all those years ago. And yeah, with her twin sister, Connie, who played Sophie. So yeah, it was just a really great chat, and I hope you all enjoy it as much as we did. So without further ado, here it is.
Hi, Cassie. Thank you very much for joining us.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. So we were just talking about, obviously, your working with us, or working with Hearst at the moment over at Cosmo. But in another life, you were, of course, Mel Burton on Hollyoaks.
I was.
Which is why I got you in today. We were just saying, I mean, does it feel like another life now, kind of looking back on it?
It really does, actually. Because it was so long ago, we're talking like 15 years ago now. It was kind of a big part of my life, but at the same time, yeah, it was so long ago that it sometimes does feel like a distant dream.
Punctuating that dream, are there kind of some like key kind of fond memories that you've got of your time on the show that kind of you look back on and go, oh god, yeah, that is kind of it's very special?
So many. I mean, I started the show a kind of naive 19-year-old from a little seaside town. And then suddenly I was in Liverpool, living in a big city, literally living the life on set every day. It was what dreams are made of, really. Getting to film really amazing storylines and making some really good friends. And I often tell people it was like going to university, but with quite a lot of money to spend on nights out. So it was just endless fun and
win-win,
exactly. And you know, I was on the show with my twin sister Connie. We lived in a flat above two members of the cast, Darren Jeffries and Alex Carter, who played OB and Lee. And it was like friends, you know, we just literally lived in flats above each other and were just, you know, bad influence on each other. We kind of went out every night because why not? And it was just 3 years of absolute chaos and fun and good times, really.
Yeah, I guess, like you say, a big change to go from anywhere kind of small to massive city. But I guess you kind of had the benefit perhaps of having your sister with you there, kind of like you kind of tackle it as a team.
Totally, yeah. I felt really lucky for that. I imagine if you were going it alone, it might have been quite an overwhelming experience. But yeah, the two of us doing it together did help. Although I had to go up a month before Connie because my character kind of started first and then her family rocks up to surprise her. And I did have to kind of go up there and rent a flat on my own and get about on my own. And
which is scary enough kind of as it is when you do it for the first time anyway, regardless of kind of being 19 and starting a new job and a new job on Hollyoaks.
Exactly, yeah. It was all, yeah, like I say, overnight, a huge life change.
In terms of like how that opportunity came about, I think I'd love to know, because obviously it's quite rare to have real life twins in any show, in a soap especially. And how did that kind of, the casting process work there? Did you and your sister audition together, or what was the process like?
Yeah, we did. Hollyoaks were actively looking for twins. They just decided, you know, they wanted to see if they could find some twins. And we went up on a train full of loads of other twins, which was a bizarre experience. Yeah. And auditioned together and just read for the parts. And then we got called back again. And they were also kind of auditioning actresses, you know, in case the twin thing didn't work out.
Right.
And they wanted to kind of have sisters instead. So I know they were seeing a lot of individual actresses. So we wrote it off. We were like, yeah, they're seeing so many people. It's just never going to come off. And so we just did the audition, switched off from it. And we were over the moon, obviously, when we got the call. It was quite unexpected.
I can imagine.
And the rest is history.
The rest is history.
I mean, Hollyoaks is a very progressive show. And I think sort of one of the secrets to its success is how it sort of marries some of the bonkers stunts we were just talking about just now with some of the really hard, more hard-hitting storylines. And I think your character, Mel, was involved in a few of those. Mm. She was involved in the rape story with Andy Holt and also alcohol addiction as well. So what's it like when you get sort of handed a really heavy story like that?
I mean, like you say, Hollyoaks just does such a good job of that, kind of having the throwaway, you know, lighthearted scenes and then tackling something head on. They do that so well. And as an actress, I loved the fun, silly throwaway scenes, obviously. You know, they were great filming days. But when you collected your scripts and you realised you were getting something really meaty, it was the best feeling, because I think it was a compliment. I think the producers felt like you could tackle it, but also you just knew you had an intense few months filming ahead of you, and it was exciting. And it was just, you know, I think it was just, they've always been really good at kind of tackling these things really sensibly, right up from the producers and the writers down to the people on set. I always remember it being a really kind of safe atmosphere on set, and people were very understanding and sensitive. So it was amazing as an actress to kind of tick those storylines off, really.
Definitely. But your character, Mel, and Sophie, you were both killed off.
We were.
So to get really sad, I don't know why I'm laughing. That's really sad. Sorry. No, it's just really sad. And I actually watched this last night. So in the dog explosion, it's on YouTube.
Oh, is it? I will Google as soon as I get off.
Yeah. No, it's all there. So Mel died instantly, I think. You were there. You'll probably be able to
that. Correct.
And then Sophie collapsed later in the church. I think it was very, very sad. So how did you feel about your time on the show coming to an end in such a dramatic way?
I'm really happy. but no, not like that. But just, you know, I would have stayed forever. It was a brilliant job. But I think to know that, okay, I'm leaving, but I'm leaving with a bang, literally, is just all you could hope for, really. Because, you know, a lot of cast members do just literally go off in a taxi. I saw it a lot during my time there. And it's disappointing as, you know, as an actor to kind of, to go like that, where some viewers might not even realise it's happened. So, yeah, to be told, you know what, you're going to have a very big dramatic explosion and literally, you know, have a very gory prosthetic injury and let it all play out like that. I felt quite honoured, actually.
It must be
go out with a bang.
It must be like you said before, you kind of imagine you get the script and it's either it's 50-50 of whether it's going to be kind of a very intense dramatic few months or you're going to get kind of a more fun light scene. And I guess that kind of explosive death is like the ultimate version of the kind of fun, because it must be a lot of fun to film those kind of, obviously long hours, but it must be a lot of fun to film those kind of really dramatic moments.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like I was in a Hollywood movie when we were filming those bits. You know, I remember literally lying in the dog whilst it was on fire and kind of thinking, wow, this is intense. Yeah. But yeah, again, like, feel so lucky to have done all those dramatic scenes and kind of experienced the kind of stunts. And yeah, we did a lot of stuff like that, running through warehouses and standing on the edge of buildings and things. And they were really exciting.
I think it's such a huge, I mean, I think sometimes when you think of a soap or you think of like what soaps look like in your head, it's very much like, oh, you know, it's this square or it's this street or it's this kind of road and it's dialogue. And then, but actually these moments like this, there's so much goes into it. It's like the production of kind of, like you say, it's almost like a Hollywood movie of like all the things that are moving and happening at once.
It really is. And quite simple things. You know, I remember, you know, there was a scene where I pushed Connie down the stairs, Mel pushed Sophie down the stairs, and the prep that went into that, because they got a stunt man for it. Don't ask me why a stunt woman wasn't available, but at the time there was only not sure what happened there, but they ended up with this stunt man. He was slight, but you know, he was a stunt man. And I remember they got a wig ordered for the stuntman of my sister's hair, and it wasn't really anything like my sister's hair. So for weeks before, my sister had to have her hair styled like the wig.
Like the wig.
So wow. By the time they filmed the stuntman falling down the stairs, people wouldn't be like, hang on a minute, what's with the dramatic hair change? So there were a few weeks of my sister like with this perm wig, like what's happening? But yeah, it's the production that goes on behind it is people wouldn't know. And like you said, you've been watching kind of old episodes. I've been doing the same with the Hollyoaks favourites, obviously with lockdown and everything, and I'm loving kind of pointing things out to my husband, like, you know, in our family home, I walked down the stairs for a scene, and I said, you do know there's nothing at the top of those stairs. You have to crouch down by a spotlight, and there's just a wall, and then you have to kind of uncurl yourself to walk down the stairs where you've just come from, you know, getting ready in your bedroom. So it's been really fun pointing things out and kind of remembering.
You know all the secrets.
Exactly.
It's funny that you talk about the wig. With TV production in general is that it's like the makeup and the hair and the kind of all of the hours that go into that side of things. So I saw Tamara Wall, who plays Grace. I saw she put a video on Twitter a few weeks ago where she was doing her makeup and hair herself because of social distancing. Right. And she was just it's the amount of work that goes into creating kind of the look of a character and the time that goes into it is just so impressive.
I mean, thank God that never happened when I was on it, because I don't think I would have done a very good job at the time. Saying that, I never had makeup on. I was an alcoholic, so I always, if anything, had to look bad. So I would have been fine, actually. I would have been fine.
You got away with that.
I could have rolled out of bed and just been ready, so that's fine.
The other thing I wanted to talk to you about quickly was, obviously, in the past few years, I'd say, there's been a move to give kind of actors and actresses and people involved in like soaps especially the kind of support when it comes to like press and fans and the fame and all that kind of stuff for lots of reasons, obviously, and lots of kind of recent tragedies have kind of meant that actually we know that these people need this support full time. I just wondered kind of what your experience with that was in terms of getting that support back then, or did it feel different, or you know.
Do you know what? It was so different back then. And I actually feel really lucky because this is going to make me feel very old. Social media did not really exist when I was on Hollyoaks. So the most we had to deal with was, I think the most I ever had to deal with was a letter from a prisoner saying I had a peachy bum when I did a naked scene. You know, like that was literally the worst of it for me. How traumatic, not. But yeah, I really, hats off to people who were just generally in the public eye, who probably, I assume, have to face daily trolling. And I have, a great episode and then have to expect people on social media having their opinion. And I don't know for sure, but I'm sure Hollyoaks is very good at supporting that. Funnily enough, all we had was a website, the Hollyoaks website, which was clunky at the best of times. And there was this little forum section where people could start up threads, you know, what should everyone think of that episode? Who's everyone's favourite character? It was very basic.
Yeah.
And I remember once kind of going on there for a little nose and seeing a thread about me. Couldn't tell you specifically what it said now, but it was something about the way I looked, something like that, because it stayed with me. I remember kind of really, it was like a dagger to the heart that people were having a conversation about my looks like that. And so I just don't know how people deal with that exposure now through social media. I think they must be really strong people to deal with that on a daily basis.
So we touched on this just now, but obviously now you are you're the beauty editor at Cosmopolitan. So can you tell us a little bit about the making the transition from acting to journalism? Like, did you just consciously decide, or did you sort of fall into it accidentally?
Yeah, I after Hollyoaks, I auditioned for a little while. As we all know, acting isn't a consistent career. You can't always carry on doing it once you've had a good gig. So I think after a while I just kind of got a bit sick of waiting for the phone to ring. A bit of a doer. I just need to be working on something and know when and where my money's coming in. So I just I thought, well, what else have I always wanted to do? And I've always loved writing, which, you know, another very competitive industry. I don't go easy on myself, but I was like, you know, I'd love to write for magazines. So I literally just approached editors at magazines and just asked for work experience, which I was only just off the TV at the time, so I think it threw them to be kind of getting approached by an actress wanting to come in and make tea, but I did. And I think More Magazine was my first work experience, RIP. And, you know, lovely little magazine. And I went in and they just had me, you know, making tea for a month, transcribing interviews, running errands, and I loved it. I was in my element. I really I really enjoyed it, and they made it really kind of easy for me. They made sure it wasn't an awkward experience coming straight out of Hollyoaks into that. And I just decided, you know what? Yeah, I want to write for magazines. And I just carried on interning until I got my gig on Cosmopolitan.
It must have been
journalism's great.
Yeah. It must have been strange. Like, did you, that process of kind of like moving from like a one world where everyone knows you, like, were you recognized a lot when you were like interviewing? Was it weird to kind of like walk into a job interview and think they might know who I am, they might have seen me, you know, a few months ago at Hollyoaks? Is that quite strange?
Yeah, I really wanted to just be taken seriously as a journalist by that point. I was really keen for it not to, you know, very naive of me, because Hollyoaks is on every night of the week, you know, you can't avoid that. But I remember, I mean, I've got three friends who are kind of still like best friends now, who were also interning on various departments of More at the time I was, and we're still solid friends now. And I remember at the time, like, no one said anything about Hollyoaks. No one recognised me, no one asked anything. And I remember coming home after my first day and saying to my sister, it's amazing, no one recognised me. Oh, what a fluke. I'm, you know, it's good. Oh, I'm so pleased. And years later at dinner, my friends were like, you do know the editor emailed round the entire office and said, no, don't stare at the Hollyoaks girl. You do realise.
Oh,
and
wow.
I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
That's
But I really appreciate her for doing that, because I kind of thought, you know, no one almost recognized me.
Yeah, it almost went the other way, it sounds like, where people were like, avoiding you, don't make eye contact.
I was like, does everyone hate me?
I would be remiss to ask, we spoke a little bit about whether you were recognised by anyone when you were interviewing for the jobs. Have there been any times when you've been kind of spotted during an interview, when you've been at Cosmo and you've been kind of interviewing a celebrity or someone? Has anyone ever said to you, oh, hold on a second?
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. Funnily enough, the most memorable one was the lovely Little Mix, who I got to interview, I can't remember how many years ago now. Anyway, a few years ago, I got the chance to interview them for Cosmopolitan, obviously. And I walked into the room and they were just like, hang on a minute, we know you. You were on Hollyoaks. And they, bless them, they were just genuinely enthusiastic about it, and then proceeded to ask me questions about my time there and my character and how I'd ended up doing this. And I pretty much came out of the interview with nothing to give my editor. I was like, if you want to print a story about my time on Hollyoaks, I've got plenty on that. But yeah, I didn't really get my interview, but they were so sweet about it and genuinely excited, which threw me, because I was, you know, nowhere near as famous as them. But
yeah, it's they're a group of people that I've always, you only ever hear kind of extremely nice things about people that I know that have interviewed or met. They're always like, you know, they're absolutely lovely girls.
So sweet. Definitely. So sweet.
Great. I think on that note, that's kind of all we've got time for today. Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us, Cassie.
Thank you.
People can follow you on Twitter at Cassie Powney, and they can read your work over on Cosmopolitan UK. And we would encourage them to do that, most definitely.
Of course. Thank you.
Thank you so much for the nostalgic trip. Yes, trip down memory lane.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping. And that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
So that was our chat with Cassie. It was just so great, wasn't it, Ali?
Yeah, it's fun to kind of talk to someone, like I said at the top of the show, like, because she's kind of a normal person, she's no longer like a big hot, you know, soap star. It's just, and she can kind of talk a bit more freely about, you know, what it's like to be on the show. And yeah, it's just fun to kind of hear her stories.
Yeah, I just like I say, it's so interesting to discover like how you make that move from acting to journalism. And she was saying, you know, she still would be up for an acting role if it ever came along. So yeah, it was just really interesting.
Yeah, really fun.
So this is the part of the podcast where we break down all the spoilers for next week. So it's the week commencing November 9, going all the way through to November 13th. And we are going to be kicking off with Corey, where sadly the big story of the week is once again surrounding Leanne and Steve and the very tragic situation with their young son, Oliver.
Yeah, we've been speaking about this, obviously, the storyline's been going for a while, and it kind of, the storyline itself has been this kind of back and forth between Leanne and Steve and Nick about, you know, what the best thing they can do for Oliver is, and you know, we had that conversation last week about, you know, Gail's having her input, and so we're kind of just, it's a continuation of that story about, you know, they all want what's best, but it's a case of, you know, what is best and what does the next step look like. And so this week there's a court hearing coming up where Wendy's going to share her kind of impartial view around the diagnosis and discuss whether or not any more can be done to help Oliver, and obviously that's going to have a massive impact on Leanne, and she kind of disagrees, and we're going to see that conversation, finally see an honest conversation between her and Steve about what the next step is for them.
Yeah, it's very difficult. I mean, Leanne is adamant that he's responding to very specific stimuli, but Steve is a bit more ambivalent. I think he does try to persuade them in court that Oliver, like, one day there could be a cure that could help Oliver's condition. But yeah, ultimately, I think they come to the conclusion that, you know, his life support does very sadly need to be turned off. But, you know, at this stage, Leanne, she's sort of ostracised herself from everyone and she's not accepting it. She makes a move on Steve, I think, one night. And it's all very, very sad. I think ultimately she wants to appeal the court's decision. Steve tells her that he's not going to support that. And that's a big move from him, because so far they've been quite united in this, haven't they?
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. I think this is the culmination, obviously, of lots of conversations. And like you say, it's Steve now going to be honest and say, you know, I'm not prepared to support this appeal. So yeah, but you know, big emotional scenes next week. It's a, you know, a extremely emotional storyline. And like we've been saying the whole time, I think it's been handled really delicately. I think so many brilliant performances throughout it. So yeah, it'll certainly be sad to see how it shakes out next week.
Yeah, it's very sad. I mean, I think Steve and the doctors are obviously all saying, you know, the most altruistic thing is to turn his life support off. But I don't think there's one single person that doesn't see where Leanne's coming from and doesn't feel for her. So it's one where you really feel for every single character involved. So yeah, it's going to be a tough watch, but really, really powerful scenes there. And then the other big story in Corey, a little bit of a lighter one, I think, or the sun, anyway. Yeah, we've got Adam's new love interest, much to Sarah's fury. She's not happy.
No. Yeah, she, we're still living in a post Adam and Sarah kind of world where the fallout from their breakup is all around us. And yeah, so this week we're going to see Adam take a liking to Alina after kind of spotting her in the cafe. And obviously this is kind of complicated by the fact that she works with Sarah at Underworld. So it's kind of all a little bit too close to home, I think, this week.
Yeah, they're going to be flirting up a bit of a storm. I think Carla sort of warns her that Adam's doing this to make Sarah jealous, which is working, but you know, she's tempted by Adam. I mean, who can blame her? So where's that gonna go? Who knows? He does suggest a date, but as for what happens, I think we're gonna have to wait and see. I think it's an interesting one, because I always thought that Sarah was more suited to Gary, but it's seeming like she's gonna be fighting
Yeah, it's the classic. Random. I think it's kind of the, you know, she's just not prepared to let it go, is she? Bless her. It's a funny one. But we'll see. It's always exciting to have a new kind of pairing and stir things up on the street. So, you know, who knows?
Yeah, who knows? It'll be interesting to see if she listens to Carla's warning or if she throws caution to the wind and is like, you know, I like Adam. I'm going to pursue it. So, yeah, that's a little bit of a lighter one with some of the heavier scenes next week. So I think that'd be good. Moving on to Hollyoaks, where we have the ongoing McQueen blackmail plot. I feel like we've talked about this so much, but it's ongoing. I think we're on the third sin, which is next week, which is to do with John Paul, and it is pride.
Yeah, it's we've been kind of the creepy Silas blackmail doll story has been going on well past Halloween now, but we're still kind of in the middle of it. But yeah, like you say, off the back of kind of the greed sin. We're seeing John Paul kind of scrabble for cash, talk to James, and that's just obviously not a good path to go down. And yeah, as we move forward, it's the sin of pride is going to be the next one. And John Paul's pretty convinced it's definitely about him.
Yeah, I'm intrigued. So we've had wrath, which was Silver killing Breeda, and then we had greed, which was Teresa. So that's ongoing at the moment. And then next week it is all about John Paul. Transpires that obviously he's got a big secret which he believes the doll knows, and this whole sin is about that. So he's going to be revealing his darkest secret /.
Yeah, it's sin. I think we're at the point of kind of, you know, there's only so much cash the McQueens can kind of get together, and this is the end of it. And so yeah, he faces some tricky decisions to pay off the debt, well, not the debt, the fine associated with the greed sin around Kyle and you know, whether he's going to kind of steal some stuff. I don't know. It's quite messy, really, for all of the McQueens involved. But yeah, I think this is the sin of pride is going to be the one where he has to come clean because they can't afford to pay again.
Yeah, he stoops quite low, I think. Like you say, he considers stealing this watch that Nancy's been gifted from Kyle's parents. That's obviously very sentimental. But yeah. Don't know what he's hiding, but I will look forward to finding out.
It's a classic Hollyoaks storyline. Like it's coming up each week. We're going, oh, I can't believe we're talking about this again. But it is hooking us. There is something, and even though it's obviously very serious stuff, the framing of the doll is just it's quite fun. It's quite kind of a tongue-in-cheek way of doing all this stuff, I think.
Yeah, it's bonkers, isn't it? I can't believe this doll is hooking me, but it is. It's doing the trick. So, anyway, well done to them. They know what they're doing. And then, moving further down the week, we've got this really quite sad story involving Sid. There's been a little bit of information already about what that's going to entail. He suffers a life-changing injury. I don't actually know what this injury is, so I'll find out along with the rest of you. But it is off the back of this County Lion story that Hollyoaks have been doing. Oh, yeah. It's all very difficult. He has this big confrontation with his cousin Jordan, who he framed, or he got arrested a few weeks ago. And that's all going to come to a head. And he's very upset afterwards. And he ends up taking a load of ketamine and collapsing, and then which sparks some life-changing events, which is going to lead to him having a very, very serious injury, which is going to change his life forever, I think.
Yeah, I think this is... we're getting into the, I mean, I keep saying this, I think, every week, but we are getting into the meat of some of the bigger County Lines, kind of the final County Lines scenarios, let's say. Yeah. And I think, obviously, this is the big moment for Sid. You know, we've had a year of following him down this path, this journey, and this is going to be the kind of culmination. And yeah, we'll just wait and find out what happens. But it's... yeah, it's exciting and sad, bless him. Like, you know, it's a pretty grim, looks like it's going to be a pretty grim kind of series of events that gets into this place. So to wait and see.
And he's a good kid, I think, deep down. But I'm intrigued because obviously in the flash forward episode, we saw his guitar, you know, all smashed. So, you know, obviously we are, like you say, in the final few weeks, we're heading towards that. It's getting closer and closer, which I can't believe. And, you know, things are starting to fall into place now, I think. Like, we know what the wedding is going to be, Tom and Yasmin. And so, yeah, it's... It's going to be difficult, I think, for him, but it's going to be interesting to, you know, watch these next few weeks play out. So that's all for Hollyoaks. Moving on to Emmerdale, where we have, so there's a couple of quite big stories. We'll start off with Mandy and Paul and his gambling story, which is ongoing, but so frustrating. But next week he does what I think is probably his most shocking move.
Yeah, this is his lowest point for sure. Mm. This is kind of it's just grim through and through. So what we're going to see, I think, is you know, we've been seeing Paul struggle with the gambling stuff. We've seen kind of Vinny try and intercede a few times over the past few weeks. And this week, it's all going to kind of focus around the fact that Mandy is kind of, as she's unaware of what Paul's going through and what he's up to. She announces these plans to get a new house for the family, for her, Paul and Vinny. And she's kind of got enough cash together to make a deposit on the place. But she, you know, quite knowingly, she asks Vinny to keep the plan secret from Paul. But obviously that doesn't kind of work out. And once Paul finds out, he wants to be involved and he kind of insists on being in charge of the cash and putting it in the bank, despite the fact that obviously we as an audience know that's probably not a good idea. And Mandy and Vinny also kind of know that it's probably not for the best.
Yeah, I mean, they are unsure. They're not convinced it's the best thing to do, yeah. But, you know, nonetheless, they let him, and their fears are very sadly justified as he secretly pockets the cash, heads to the bookies, but the big question is whether he is actually going to gamble away all the deposit money, because I think that could be curtains for them if he does.
Yeah, it's it reminds us of that conversation we had with Lisa Riley back last month, where she was saying, you know, the thing with Mandy is that she wears her heart on her sleeve, and like she can't Paul's kind of half pulled the wool over her eyes, and that's enough for her to, she'd rather kind of believe that things are going to work out than maybe face the reality of the situation a little bit. So we'll have to see, like you say, wait and find out whether he does actually gamble the money. And if not, you know, this could lead to this could be a turning point in that story, but yeah, we're very much at the crossroads there.
It's very interesting. Obviously, we've got this gambling story playing out in EastEnders as well with Kush.
Yeah,
it'll be interesting to see if Mandy stands by him or not. She's a very forgiving character, but, you know, he does push her and push her and push her. So,
And this is a big deal, right? It's the money that she's, you know, it's their family's future in some ways. It's this deposit she's got. She wants to kind of live happily ever after.
Not good. And, you know, jumping on to another couple on the rocks, we've got Paddy and Chaz, and I have found out that their ship name is Chaddy.
It's definitely so, Chaddy. I'm not sure how I feel about that, Sophie. It does not roll off the tongue particularly well. It sounds like some sort of fish.
It really does, actually. Chaddy. I still feel saying it sounds really weird, but it's like Stainy in EastEnders. It just doesn't sit well with me. But yes, so we've got them. They are not in the best of state still. So Paddy got drunk with Mandy, a little bit, you know, misguided move there, not the best thing to do. So his hopes of a reunion with Chaz are sort of hanging by a thread. But there could be light at the end of the tunnel, as he overhears Chaz telling baby Eve how much she loves him, which is super cute.
Yeah, I think it's decision time. This is the week, I think, where we're going to... I'm hoping this is the week where we kind of go one way or the other with the two of them. Because we like, you know, we want to see them happy, but we also don't want to see Paddy in this position where he's just like umming and ahhing about... Which I know is kind of his MO, but yeah, I think we're getting to decision time for the two of them, whether they'll stay together or not, so... Yeah, I think we'll find out for sure this week.
Yeah, definitely. So jumping on to the third couple in trouble. Well, they're kind of, these two, I'm not sure there's a way back, actually.
Yeah.
Unlike Chaddy. But Harriet and Will find themselves in an awkward situation. So obviously they've called things off because she slept with Malone. I mean, what does she expect? And then, so their wedding is no longer going ahead. Not that it would be in the current climate, but it's not going ahead. And she tells Laurel that it's because of financial issues, but she sort of underestimates Laurel's kindness.
Yeah.
And her lies end up catching her out because Laurel and Nicola decide to sort of fundraise and get the money together so it can go ahead.
It's a classic soap conundrum of someone being kind of caught up in the web of their own lies. Like she's been proactive with telling people this kind of fake reason, and that's going to come back and bite her. So, yeah, not good. I think she's going to be caught out potentially.
And yeah, so it's testing times all round in Emmerdale, really. Not a lot of happiness there. Yeah, but, you know, everyone's, what do you expect?
Everyone's relationships are being scrutinised, shall we say.
Yep. And we are about to jump onto EastEnders, where it's not much brighter. But, you know, it's EastEnders, so. What do you expect? Yeah, and it's November. You know, we're heading into Christmas.
Yeah.
Everything is about to go up in flames. But So the big story next week is this ongoing story involving Mick. So we've got Katie Lewis, who is Frankie's mum. She is going to be turning up. She is played by Simone Labib, who you might know if you were a Bad Girls fan back in the day. She played Helen Stewart, a big, big character.
Yeah.
So that's exciting.
Katie's arriving in Wolford. And I think for anyone who's been following this storyline with Mick over the past few weeks, you know, we've seen him, we've seen almost his entire personality switch. Once he kind of had this realisation after speaking to Frankie that, you know, he was abused by Katie when he was much, much younger, when he was 12, we've seen this kind of switch in his personality, and he's been pushing everyone away. Obviously, we've seen he's kind of had these major arguments with Shirley at every opportunity. And this is really the next step in that storyline as Katie kind of arrives, which I'm quite surprised at, that actually they're bringing her into the square, because I think it's very... It's interesting to have Mick kind of come to face to face with her after everything that we know. So yeah, she's going to turn up. It's potentially at Frankie's request. So yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, she's got a missing piece of the jigsaw, story really. And so Frankie is going to want them to meet up, the three of them. I love Frankie. She's so upfront, straightforward. Yeah. She's like, we're going to have a meeting, the three of us. But what happened during this meeting and what's said, you know, that remains to be seen, because Mick is not in a good way by the end of the week. It's really, really difficult for him. And it's obviously not being helped by the fact that he hasn't shared this with anyone, really. Like, Linda's still not really sure what's going on with him. Yeah. And like you say, we've not seen this side of Mick before. It's really, really difficult to watch, isn't it?
Yeah, and I'm not sure I can watch Tina put her foot in it again. It's been weeks of it. Every time she turns up on screen, I'm like, Tina, no, you need to read the room, understand what's happening.
Calm down.
Yeah,
take
honestly.
A step back.
It's worth saying as well, obviously this storyline is incredibly sensitive and dealing with some really serious stuff. And it's good to know, as always, that EastEnders have been working pretty closely with the NSPCC and Survivors UK and other charities that deal with kind of abuse of this kind ever since the beginning of the storyline. So we'd expect to see it dealt with the same kind of sensitivity that it has been so far. And obviously this is quite a big thing happening next week. So yeah, we're interested to see how that shakes out.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know we were saying about we haven't seen the side of Mick before, but you know, you've got to remember this is a historical... Yeah. abuse, and he's still trying to get his head around it. He's still not at a point where I think he can accept it and talk to his loved ones. So yeah, like you say, it's been handled really delicately, really sensitively, and I think that's gonna be taking center stage for, you know, the weeks to come. There's still a long way to go there. And then finally, this
speaking of sensitive, delicate things, Phil and Kat.
This one just makes me laugh. I mean, it's just the little duo you never saw coming, like a little criminal duo. So she said earlier this week that she wants Phil to help her with a robbery at a cleaning job. I think she thinks, you know, it's Phil. You know, why would he turn this down? But he obviously isn't a big fan of the Slaters, and he does initially say no. Repeatedly, but Kat being Kat isn't going to take no for an answer.
No.
So she pursues this all through next week. And so she sort of keeps visiting him. She's determined to change his mind. It looks like she might do, but you know, whether Phil can really trust the Slaters enough to go along with it, not sure.
Yeah, it's a funny one. Like you said, it's not a pairing that we expect to see on screen much anymore. So I'm looking forward to seeing scenes with Jesse Wallace and Steve McFadden, because like they're both such EastEnders stalwarts, you know, they're in it all the time, but we so rarely get to see them butt heads like this. I'm sure it's going to lead to some kind of cracking one-liners and ridiculous moments between the two of them.
Yeah, definitely. This story, actually, I was having a little look yesterday. You know, obviously I'm limited in what I can say, but this does get bigger throughout November. There's going to be other people, I was about to say who then, there's going to be other people involved. And yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a good one, I think. Kind of, it's like you say, I just didn't see this coming. And, you know, I'm still confused as to what Phil knows. Like, you know, obviously Stacey attacked him. He thought it was Kat. He seemingly let this all go.
Yeah, that is interesting. I mean, the Slaters are just not in anyone's good books at the moment for various reasons. And this seems to be, you know, is this a good idea for them for Kat to get involved in more crime? Probably not. Is it a good idea for her, someone else in the family, to, you know, end up owing someone something? Probably not. But since when does Kat make, you know, good decisions?
Yeah, exactly. She doesn't. And let's not forget that we've got Callum, sort of, he's obviously a police officer You know, he's with Ben. It's just a disaster waiting to happen, isn't it?
100%.
But on that note, I think we will park the little spoiler section and hope you enjoy everything across next week. As always, let us know what you think. Let us know what you're looking forward to. You can let us know what you're not looking forward to, because that's fine too. we're open to any feedback. Yeah. And like we said last week, let us know if there's anything you want us to talk about, any stories, any issues. We will happily chat about them.
Yeah, quite keen to know what people think are going to be, you know, what are your guesses for as we head towards Christmas, like you said. I'm quite keen to know what people's predictions around the big moments are in each of the soaps, because we know what Christmas is like. We know that, you know, it's not going to be a quiet kind of silent night. So, yeah, let us know what you think is going to happen. And you can do that on social media. So you can find the show on Twitter at SoapScoop. You can head over to Facebook at facebook.com/digitalspysoaps. And you can stay up to date with all of the soaps spoilers that we've spoken about today by heading to digitalspy.com/soaps.
And as always, you can subscribe to get this episode when it lands every Friday at 8 a.m. You can leave us a review, leave us 5 stars,
yeah,
please. And we will see you next week. In the meantime, wrap up warm, stay safe, stay relatively happy if you can.
Yeah, we'll see you next week, folks.
We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.